Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
All right, friends. Well, welcome to this episode. We're excited to have some very special guests with us. We are joined today by Paul and Michelle, who lead a very large missions organization. And we got the chance to spend some time with them recently and wanted to give you all, as our listeners, a chance to hear from them a little bit more as well.
Yeah, we had a really fun time with you, Paul and Michelle, and it struck me that many people around the world would probably like a chance to get to know you better. So Jesse and I talked about having kind of an ask anything with you guys, just to learn from your wisdom and experience and from the important seat that you're in now.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty unique position that y'all have to be able to look all around the world and see what the Lord's doing among, you know, many, many nations, if not all the nations, see some of the trends, even larger trends in the missions world. And so we did want to dig into a few of those issues with y'all, but hear from y'all personally as well. Some of your story, some of how the Lord has led you, some of your leadership journey also. All right. So we'll kick it off with, what are some of the things that excite you most as you look out at the landscape of global missions these days? What are some of the things that excite you most about what God is doing around the world and among the nations?
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for this. We appreciate so much the opportunity to be on with you all. We have great respect for the work that you do and for the commitment that your family has made to that work, and also for this platform that gives others the opportunity to hear and learn and experience and get other voices involved. So we're just grateful for the chance to be in the conversation today. We too enjoy being with you all, had a good time recently. When we think about what's going on in the world today, and particularly from the perspective of global missions, I mean, it's a very, very exciting time. It's a very disrupted time in terms of, the war in Eastern Europe, security issues, countries rejecting missionary presence, and we've just gone through the pandemic, and still in many places of the world being impacted by that. So incredible disruption. But as is always the case, the Lord is at work in those disruptions, and the Lord is opening opportunities for gospel advance, and we're seeing evidence of that. In our organization, our workers, serving in more than 100 countries of the world, we track their impact, the way the Lord is using them each year as they report on what God is doing and a number of shares of the gospel, number of new believers, new churches that are started. And we're seeing growth. We're seeing significant growth year over year in that. And so that's exciting. I had the opportunity to be at a collegiate week gathering this past weekend with 1,300 college students, and to just sense the passion and interest in that rising generation for work among the nations was exciting worship time. But it also, I'm incredibly optimistic about what the Lord is going to do through them. So there's also, particularly with our organization, we're seeing growing support, the growing generosity of our denominational family towards the work that we're doing together in cooperation. Just has us, again, very optimistic, very grateful. I think there's so many other things, but one other thing that we're really excited about right now is the globalization of mission work and what we call the missionary task. We've been making a concerted effort to work with national believers and other sending bodies overseas, and to help churches around the world send their own missionaries. We're seeing significant progress both some parts that we get to be involved in, groups we're working with, others that we have no connection to, but we're observing and just seeing more and more of the global church embrace the global mission and sending cross-cultural missionaries. And that, to me, I mean, there's no way one organization, even an organization as large as ours, could complete the Great Commission, can't even come close.
Yeah.
And We know the Great Commission wasn't given one organization or one church or one denomination. It was given to the global church. Mm-hmm. And to see different places and parts of that rising up and embracing that and becoming a part of it. That's how we know. We point a lot to the Revelation 7-9 vision, where in heaven, every nation, all tribes, peoples, and languages will be gathered around the throne. And we're optimistic that we're seeing significant progress towards that end, as so many others are taking up the mantle of mission work.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Just exciting days to be in. Like you said, a lot of disruption, a lot of seeming chaos around the world, but in the midst of that, a lot of progress as well. A lot of Great Commission, sometimes kind of unprecedented Great Commission progress that we're able to celebrate along the way.
Yeah. And Michelle, I'd love to get your perspective, both on what's exciting you from your seat, but also I really value the sacrifice that I know you must make and that your kids make. I know Paul travels a lot. I know you have a lot just on your family's plate. And I also know you have the same heart for this work as Paul. So I would just love to hear your experience in the seat that you're in, how you see your part in that, and how you're excited about what God's doing.
Well, I enjoyed having, I think, breakfast with you all a few weeks ago. So thank you for that time. Yeah, Paul is gone a lot. He travels a lot. A lot of men in our neighborhood travel a lot too, but they are traveling to make money and to up their status. And I know that Paul is traveling, and our kids know that Paul is traveling to make sure the people who are partnering with us, who are out really doing the hard work, can do what they need to do. So to know that he's out cheerleading for such an amazing purpose, and this is God's purpose, really does help. I think I would be mad at him most of the time if I knew he was just traveling to go make a lot of money. So, but that is not the case. The other question was, where do I see myself? What role do I see? You know, I wasn't really sure coming in. It was very terrifying to me when Paul got this role. I was not surprised, but I was a school teacher before then and a preacher's wife. And it's almost kind of like being a preacher's wife still. I think I support him. And when he's out cheerleading you, I try to cheerlead him. I make sure his shirts are ironed and all those things that wives do to encourage. So, and you know, I don't feel like I'm worthy to have the platform I am, but I know that God has given me this spot for a reason, and I don't want to miss it. So I'm constantly asking God where my place is, and I know that it'll change as time goes on. But right now, it's hopefully making relationships with people, encouraging you all, encouraging Paul. I do speak at churches, not a lot, but I have. But just to give the awareness of what's going on and what you all are doing, a lot of our churches don't understand or don't know. So for me to be able to verbalize that. And then I am working with the state of Virginia to get the churches in our area involved in foster care. That's something that is a passion and a burden that God placed on my heart many, many years ago. And so just in the last 4 months, God's really opened that door for me to take something that I started in Kentucky and bring it into Virginia. So I'm really excited about that.
That's great.
That is wonderful.
We can testify from personal experience that when you share the stage with Paul, things get pretty lively pretty quick. So we can just affirm your speaking skills as well.
Yeah. In that.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, no, for real though, the ability that you two have to make people feel comfortable is really great. Mm-hmm. Just being able to laugh and spend time with you all gets the nervousness out of us.
That's right. That's right.
Well, if you all knew where we came from, you would not be nervous at all.
you would laugh more.
Right. So that's true.
Well, one of the things that God has been, I think, reminding us of this summer, we know that there can be a temptation as missionaries and as leaders for us to start feeling entitled to things or to kind of sit back on our leadership position with a bit of settledness. You're at the very top of an organization. And so how do you fight that? I mean, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, right? Like, we want to receive grace. We don't want God to oppose us. And I feel like pride can be subtle and such a temptation. But I would love to hear you share how you think about that.
I think for me, it's always at the forefront of my thinking because I've tried to track every sin that has occurred in my life that I've fallen victim to or that might occur. And they all go back to pride. And so pride is, you know, that's the root, I think, of it. The love of self is the root of every sin. So I just try to keep that that awareness. Someone asked me one time, how do you stay so humble? I said, well, I look in the mirror often. And that's so that helps. But I'm not humble. However, if there's ever any ounce of humility exhibited in my life, it always has come as a direct result of humiliation. And so I don't enjoy being humiliated. I don't like being humiliated. The Lord has permission to humiliate any of us anytime he needs to. That's, again, why I try to just stay conscious of this. I think our roots maybe make it a little different for us in this regard. You know, we both come from very dysfunctional families and both came from families that grew up in poverty, and our, you know, our beginnings were probably upper lower class and then lower middle and worked their way up maybe through. But those roots, my first job for, I don't know, 10 years was a janitor. And I learned some of the best lessons about leadership that I lean on to this day from, you know, the job of cleaning toilets and sweeping the floors of muddy boots, telephone office work, lineman workers and all of that. But One of the things, as we had the opportunity to be around a lot of missionaries just this summer, and you were two of them, we had the chance to meet. That is really helpful to keep you out of that entitlement mindset. And, you know, so many leaders, particularly with when there's financial reward for doing your job or you have access to resources and to, you know, fine meals and nice travel and all of that, it can become where you expect that. It can become where you can arrange that for yourself. But we work in a large organization. We serve a lot of frontline missionaries who live in very difficult places and have very humble existence in terms of the economics of where they live, in terms of the challenges where they live, the people they serve. The more we're visiting with them, interacting with them, out in their homes and walking through the harvest fields with them, the more difficult it is to come back to the United States and feel entitled and buy expensive things and expect a certain kind of treatment and lifestyle. So that's one of the things that I think the Lord helps us with.
Yeah, and I also think, too, just being a pastor of small churches and large churches and meeting men and women who live very humbly here on fixed income, but they're tithing and then they're going above and beyond for certain other offerings. Just to see the sacrifice people are making is very, to me, humbling.
Yeah.
And you want to be a good steward of that. And I think fear of God, too, definitely keeps... I try not to be prideful because of just the fear of God, knowing that, like Paul said, you know, you will get humbled by God, I feel like, if you get too high on your horse. So
yeah, that's right. It's good to have some fellowship there, Paul. I appreciate you saying that. Like a buddy of mine used to tell me all the time, I got good reason to be humble. So
just daily look in the mirror is a great reminder.
But I do think it's hard too, you know, because people want a leader who is confident. And so sometimes when you display confidence, other people might read it as pride. But then if you don't show confidence, other people might see it as weakness. And who wants a leader who who's prideful and who wants a leader who's weak. So it's kind of, it's a hard balance. And I just think God's favor on how people have always seen Paul, I think, is shown through that, because it certainly doesn't come from him, you know, or me. So that's just a hard balance.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. And just to see, I think, even to draw out in this conversation, the opposites are pride and humility, right? Not humility and confidence. And so we can walk in a humble confidence, knowing who the Lord has made us, what he's called us to be, and the confidence we have in his truth, right? Sometimes the issue is where we place our confidence. We place our confidence in the word of God, the Spirit's work in us, right? And not in ourselves and our resources. And y'all have let out in that. I think we can see that even from a distance, you know, and even I think that how that has even sort of suffused throughout the organization, and to hear that affirmation from others that do work closely with you all, that humble confidence is that mark upon your life.
And I think, like you said, Michelle, the assurance God has you where he wants you, right?
Yeah. So
even if you might not feel worthy at times, you want to use the role he's given you for all that you can.
Yeah.
I think that gives a confidence too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So in that seat that we talk about, y'all do carry a lot of responsibility. It's a large stewardship. It's also a large platform that you have to speak to a whole family of churches, because it is a denominational, even though technically that's not really a denomination, right? It is a denominational missions agency, which is somewhat of a relic these days in the missions world, right? A lot of mission sending happens these days through, you know, societies, things like that, that are not necessarily tied to one denomination. What are the values that you see in having a missions agency that's tied to a family of churches? Those lines of accountability, mutual accountability that are there, the lines of connection are there. Why is that important? Why is it valuable? Maybe even preferable.
But I would affirm from my perspective, it is incredibly valuable and it is preferable. And the reasons I would say both of those are true is that you used the word accountability, even as you set up the question. There's a high level of accountability for the organization as a whole, doctrinal accountability. We aren't out there on our own, independent, a donor, a giver, or even a church that wants to, you know, work with us, doesn't have to look far to see who we are and what we believe, and to know that we cannot stray from that. Should we ever stray from that, you know, our organization has to answer to 40,000 plus churches. It's one thing to answer to a small group of donors. It's another thing to answer to millions, literally millions of supporters who have all share a stated doctrinal affirmation, agreement, alignment. And so to me, that just does so much to protect the integrity, to shield, to guard the doctrinal integrity of our organization. And others, organizations that do things differently can have high doctrinal integrity, but I know of none that have the guardrails, the protections in place that ensure that kind of integrity. Another thing that it gives us is access to a lot of resources as churches have committed to cooperating together. But we do that in a way that churches consistently give and support without having to be, you know, begged, without somebody having to show up on a weekly basis and remind them. And so this ensures that the missionaries who serve with our organization have what they need. Their work is not interrupted by multiple trips home a year. Their work is not under the stressor of, well, is the checkbook running, checking account running low? Who are we going to go to now? The freedom that gives to our workers, they can continue on with confidence and without interruption, is huge. But also the support system that we're able to surround them with. This is, you know, unique. Most of the other sending organizations, God bless them, we're thankful for them, we partner with them, but most of them are, they are simply sending out people who are raising their own support, and that support is kind of channeled through that organization. And so, you know, the level of healthcare they're able to count on, the level of help in educating their children,
right?
You know, providing for travel, strategy you know, ensuring you have a strong strategy and you've got a research team behind you and lots of people working on that when you're serving through our organization. And so I feel like those, the frontline missionaries who serve through our organization have the best support of any organization. We would want every gospel worker around the world to have the kind of support that I feel like our organization's missionaries have. And the reason ours are able to have that is because of how we work through our denomination, you know, the cooperative effort of so many churches, theological training. You know, we have seminaries that, in fact, recently had an announcement from one of our seminaries that any worker, any missionary with our organization can go to school for free, can earn graduate degree, doctoral degree, master's degrees, free of tuition. I mean, that doesn't happen in other seminaries, doesn't happen with other organizations. It's happening with ours. And that's because you have thousands of churches that have said, we're all in this together. We're behind this. We believe in it. We're going to support it. And so, again, there's so many benefits that come from the model that we're blessed and privileged to work in. Again, thankful for all kinds of different models and the Lord's using all of them. And many of them we're grateful to be able to partner with. Ours, as you said, is unique, but what a privilege. With this comes a high level of stewardship, you know, responsibility that, that the leadership of our organization and those who work in our organization, the missionaries of our organization, you go back to your earlier question, Shaney, we don't want to get complacent. We don't want to get arrogant. We don't want to take for granted what the Lord is providing. And that's something that we've really been working harder on in the last couple of years. And we're going to continue to work harder on because here's the great risk of our model. And that is it becomes detached from the local church, the sending churches here in the United States, because a missionary doesn't have to come home and build and strengthen those strong relationships to count on money and support and provision. And yet, you know, I know it's the heart of our missionaries to have those strong relationships. And we've been working on, you know, how to help them in that, how to strengthen those relationships. And we're seeing great benefits from that as well. But that's one of the downs, that's one of the risks of our model for all of its benefits.
Yeah.
We work with a lot of people in South Asia from different organizations. So I'm thinking about the listeners who are prospective missionaries, and I would encourage those listeners that it does matter who you go with, and having support is a real blessing.
And I would just say beyond, you know, support is obviously a huge benefit, but I think even thinking beyond what we normally think of as support, it's not just services. But as was reflected in the meeting we were a part of recently, it's like a family. I mean, we really feel like we have an extended family all around the world.
Yeah.
People that we cross paths with from time to time, people that, you know, we have experienced personally real family-like support in some of the hardest times of our lives, where not only were things taken care of logistically for us, but people came alongside of us and like suffered with us. And so it does, I mean, truly does feel like this is a family all around the world, and all the things that come with that, all the, like you said, kind of a community of practice as well. You mentioned strategy, Paul, as you were talking about it. I just think some of what our missionaries experience is some of the finest, like, missiological, theological sharpening that's out there, because we're forced to do it, right? I mean, you can't get away from family, right? We got to be able to pull with each other on this. So it's just it's an incredible experience.
Can I ask you all a question on the same vein? So because we all are like-minded, when you all get a short-term mission group come serve with you, can you talk about how it's beneficial to have like-minded come to you all? And have you seen different organizations who have volunteers come in? Have they seen any problem with not being like-minded or...
Yeah, I think that we have operated in that for so long that we've probably forgotten the benefit that we operate within, with the just the fact that we can assume a lot of things about the people that are coming out on these teams. We can assume so much, assume so much like-mindedness doctrinally. We don't have to have discussions about, you know, whether the Bible is reliable or not, whether Jesus is the only way of salvation, whether some of the more kind of fringe missiological trends that are out there, whether those are things that we should do or shouldn't do. Like for us, I feel like when we're recruiting in-house from within the family, there's a lot of assumptions that we can reasonably make. Mm-hmm. And so they come out, when people come out, they're just at a much, I would say, higher bar, for lack of a better phrase. They're able to jump right in. We give them obviously a little specific training to kind of the local strategy of what we're doing. But yeah, we don't have to, we know, you know, they're biblically motivated by the gospel, by the need for the gospel to go to the unreached. They have a similar view of church. All those things are those main important things. They're not question marks for us. It's awesome.
We never have any conflict at all on our team.
None whatsoever. That's right. But we just have conflict about the things we should have conflict about, right?
Yes.
Not about the other stuff.
Absolutely. Only those.
Only those. No, that's a really practical, great question, because that is our experience. We host a lot of people, and we know when they come from our family of churches that they're just going to be good folks who believe the same way that we do, and we're on the same page on those basic biblical truths, those key doctrines. So we want to hear a little bit more personally from y'all as well. Share about a difficult time you've gone through in your lives, how the Lord sustained you through that, and what lessons he taught you through it as well.
I think probably one of the greatest difficulties we've endured was a cancer diagnosis in 2012. Michelle was diagnosed with breast cancer, and that began a long and physically for her very painful journey towards treatments and recovery, and a lot of physical suffering in that. The Lord was gracious. The Lord brought healing, but I think that has probably been one of the hardest things we faced together. Of course, we've been together most of our lives. We faced some things together. That's probably one of the hardest, wouldn't you think?
It was for me.
Yeah. I was there.
You're not letting him take credit for that one.
I guess it was 10 years ago this month that I had surgery, and then faced 6 months of chemo. And yeah, through that, I learned a lot. I know God knows all the hairs on our head, but I can't help but think that he really sees us when they're falling out, because he has to continue to count them, So I really felt like God saw me. It definitely grew Paul and I closer together. He such a tender caretaker, and you know, I could just feel my heart rate go down when he would be near, maybe touch my arm. And but I think it drew us closer together, too. And then the church family, too. I mean, there was so much encouragement from church, prayers, definitely. And when your health is gone, I don't think I ever realized that, because I've always been so healthy until this diagnosis, which completely floored me.
Yeah.
But when your health is gone, you really don't have a whole lot else. Mm. But I did have God, and just the peace that came from that, and even not wanting to miss what he was trying to teach me through it. I didn't want to go through it and it not change me. And I was definitely changed in a very good way. So he's been definitely faithful. If I hadn't survived, he would have still been faithful. So to come to that understanding, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was brought many blessings into our marriage. You know, it was a frightening time. We had small children, and I didn't want to raise them on my own.
You know? Especially the ones we have.
don't leave me here to do this without you.
Right.
It was frightening, but the Lord did grow us closer together. I think I've shared at other times about a particular moment that really sticks out for me as I look back on that season. I had come in from work, and it was afternoon. She was in the bed, which was not unusual. She was on one of the strongest chemotherapy regimens that at the time that they had. They called it the Red Devil, and for good reason.
You still call it the Red Devil.
And for good reason. So she was in bed. She had had her surgery, and just very physically impacting upon her body. The chemotherapy just had her in absolute misery, and she's lost her hair. She's so sick physically from the chemotherapy. She was in bed. I went in to check on her and ask how she was doing, and I just felt so sorry for her. Mm-hmm. And like I say, We started courting in like seventh or eighth grade, kind of grew up together. So we've been together a long time, even at that point. I asked her, what do you need? Nothing. I'm okay. Well, that was a lie. She wasn't okay, but yeah. Maybe she didn't feel like she needed anything. But I noticed her water cup by her bed was maybe half full. I said, oh, I'll get you some more water. And I got her some more water, brought it back in, and said, what else do you need? Nothing. It's fine. I'm okay. I said, well, okay, I'll let you rest. And I turned to walk out of the room, and she called my name. And what can I get you? And she said, nothing. And then she said this. She said, I never realized how much you loved me until now. And I don't know, I may have said it's a lot or something. I turned, walked out of the room, and the words just caught me. And I was trying to think, you know, I've been good to that woman. What did you think? Have I been a failure till now or what? But it just, you know, it hit me. She saw my, you know, compassion for her and my desire to serve her. And then that's what helped her understand, you know, how much I did love her. And so that was a great lesson. You know, the Bible, Jesus modeled that for us, right? He showed his love to us by coming and serving us and laying down his life for us. And Ephesians 5, we're called to love our wives as ourselves. And it was just such a poignant, powerful reminder to me, I think, as I reflected upon that and have continued, you know, to kind of carry it. The best way she can really believe my words when I tell her that I love her is to serve her. And that's the best way others can believe our words when we tell them. That's a way a lost world can believe our words when we say we love a lost world. That's the way Christ showed his love for a lost world. It certainly did bring us much closer together, even though, again, we'd been together a long time.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you sharing that so openly. It's reminding me of hard times in our life. And someone told me that when you're going through hard times as a couple, you will probably either become a lot closer through it or kind of handle it on your own independently. And I'm really thankful. I feel like it is the really hard times that I think make us the most tender to each other.
Yeah,
because you do feel sorry for each other. And it's harder to get angry at each other in those seasons.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes it takes a little cataclysm around here to stir some sympathy. We don't sympathy usually.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I want to hear, what do you all do to have fun?
Well, we actually do quite a bit together, and anything outdoors, kayaking, hiking, hanging out at the pool. I don't know, just typical normal family things, but we try to do it very often. And, you know, we look for, if you have a minute to have some fun, we think you should go have the fun and not worry about all the details.
Sure.
Because if you worry about all the details, you're going to lose the moment.
Yeah.
So should I tell them what we did?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, during our last meeting, you know, we had all the employees there. So I was not getting in that pool with a bathing suit on. I just was not doing it. And so Paul, in his great map reading skills, found a pool. And we snuck into a pool in a different hotel.
That is awesome.
For like 2 hours.
Oh, that's
great. And, you know, it would not have happened had I said, well, we have to do this, and we have to get this going, and we have to do this. But we just, like, we ran out the door. The security came up, and Paul said, just act like you are supposed to be here. And I was like, okay. So we just walked. If you have a moment that you can do something fun, do it. Don't worry about if you have sunscreen, which we did have some sunscreen, but don't worry about if you might get put in jail. No.
That's good. You really should worry about that.
But yeah. I guess that's my good advice, what we do. And we read the same books, we talk about those. We like to watch Marvel movies and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. We like Harry Potter. You know, I taught middle school, so what else?
Yeah, we take a lot of walks together and they have family meals together. You know, we travel a lot for work and tack another day onto that and just get away and spend time together as sometimes those opportunities come. So that's a blessing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like all those things. So I definitely think we could hang out.
We could hang out. Right.
Sure.
That's true.
And sneaking into places and just acting like you belong. I mean, y'all have never lived on the field long term, but you are our people. I mean, that's what that's basically like the life of a missionary right there. So
all
good
right.
job.
Well and done. Something yeah. that Paul did too when I was going through chemo, when you go in, it would seem like it would take hours. Mm. And so they would hook me up and he would open his computer and we planned a trip. During that whole time when wow. I was going, when that's when we would start planning it, when they would hook me up to the machines. And right when it was over, we did go on a mission trip to Haiti. And wow. then we went on another special trip. You know, when you have a struggle in front of you, knowing that it's not going to last forever, that there's yeah. going to be life after that is helpful.
Yeah.
To plan things. So
that's great, man. Y'all, thanks so much for taking the time. We know we've talked about it already in the midst of a busy schedule. You know, I'm sure you're about to sneak off into a pool somewhere, but before you do that, we just wanted to say again, we appreciate the time and just appreciate your leadership. Appreciate the heart that the Lord has given to you for this work and for the peoples around the world that need the gospel. We've heard it over and over again. Many other people have as well, but just appreciate what the Lord is doing in and through you, his grace on display through you, and how you're leading a really powerful force for the gospel all around the world.
Yes. And I'm encouraged. Thank you for the challenge to serve others and be tenderhearted and do those little things that really matter for others. So yep. you spurred me on.
Thank you. Thank it's you. Been an honor to get to know you guys.
Yeah. I look forward to getting to know you better.
Yeah.
Grateful for the way you're living your life and giving your life to the work that God has called you to. And thankful for you know those who serve around the world, and especially for those we get to have connection to and be supportive of. It's an incredible privilege.
Amen. Thanks, y'all.